Sanbonani, Dumelang, Riperile, Di Madekwana, Lochani. My fellow South Africans, in just 11 days since I last addressed you in our family meeting, I reported on the signs of a resurgence of coronavirus infections in various parts of the country. On that day, the 3rd of December, our country recorded over 4,400 new cases of infections. Yesterday, the 13th of December, we recorded nearly 8,000 new cases of coronavirus infections. The cumulative number of confirmed coronavirus cases in our country today stands at 867,127. We're getting very close to 900,000 and will soon hit a million. These figures are a cause for great concern. There can no longer be any doubt that South Africa has entered a second wave of coronavirus infections, which we've been talking about. Given the rate at which new cases have grown over the last 2 weeks, there is every possibility that if we do not act urgently and if we do not act together, the second wave will be even more severe than the first wave. The daily average new cases nationally over the last 7 days is 74% higher than the previous 7 days. In this time, the number of new cases has increased from a daily average of around 3,800 to just over 6,600 per day. The daily average of COVID-19 deaths has increased by nearly 50% over the same period, from just over 100 deaths a day to just over 150 deaths. The four provinces that are leading the second wave are the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Gauteng. For the first time in this pandemic, most of the new infections are among young people, particularly those in the age group of 15 years to 19 years. There are probably many reasons for this massive spike in infections, but some key contributors are now becoming clear to us. Gatherings, especially social gatherings and parties, are the largest source of outbreaks. In many of these gatherings, parties, as I call them, social distancing is not being observed. Venues are often overcrowded and they are often not adequately ventilated. Hand sanitizers are not readily available and people are not wearing masks. Many people consume alcoholic drinks at these super spreader events, with the result that people become less careful about taking measures to protect themselves and to prevent infection. The recent post-matric rage festival event that took place in Balito in KwaZulu-Natal is a harsh reminder of how dangerous these large gatherings can be. We now know that nearly 1,000 young people from Gauteng who attended the event have tested positive for the coronavirus. What we don't know yet is how many more people each of them has infected. It is said that up to 300 families could in turn have been infected just from this one event. The sad truth about this pandemic is that festivals, concerts, and parties, which should really be occasions for fun, either for celebration or for being joyful, are proving to be sources of infection and illness, and may even be sources of death. Another factor in the rise in infections is increased travel. Many people do not observe prevention measures as they move within cities, within our towns or rural areas, and between different areas. We have to recognize that the more we travel, the greater the potential for the spread of the virus. That means wearing a mask when you are in public transport and making sure that windows are open at all times is absolutely essential. It also means reducing the number of people that one spends time with if one is traveling to visit either family and friends in other parts of the city or the country. It is safer to socialize with your immediate family than with large gatherings that could cause the virus to spread. More broadly, the massive rise in infections is the result of people not observing basic and easy to follow practices. These measures are particularly important as transmission is often caused by people who are infected but are not yet showing symptoms and are not aware that they are infected. The relatively low rates of infection over the last few months have made us more relaxed about wearing a mask over our nose and mouth every time we go out in public. We no longer see the point of avoiding crowded venues or standing more than 1.5 meters from each other or keeping windows open when we are traveling on public transport, or we no longer sanitize on a regular basis. We've gotten into the Christmas or festive spirit early and are inviting friends and family over to get togethers, and this is what really spreads the virus. Yet it is our failure to closely adhere to all these basic precautions at all times that has brought us to this second wave. These safety precautions may not seem important until someone you love has been infected with the virus because of your own carelessness. The festive season now poses the greatest threat to the health and well-being of our nation. It poses the greatest threat also to the recovery of our economy. This is because the festive season is traditionally a time of gatherings, of travel, of meeting friends and family, and of relaxing after a difficult and a stressful year. In these respects, the festive season is very much like the Easter period. I think it is worth remembering that during Easter this year, we were able to limit the number of infections because we all remained disciplined as a people. We all observed the restrictions and we all adhered to the basic health measures. And I would like all of us to remember that period. And in this regard, we recognize the sacrifices that the churches made by suspending Easter services And indeed, the contribution that all faiths have made throughout the year to preserving life. Just as we did during Easter, we need to once again adhere to the basic health protocols. We've been here before and we can do it again. If we do not do things differently this festive season, we will greet the new year not with joy, but with sorrow. Many of our friends, relatives, and co-workers will be infected. Some will get severely ill, and some, tragically, will also die. Unless we do things differently, this will be the last Christmas for many, many South Africans. This is certainly what we do not want. We all want to live and let our loved ones also live. It is therefore essential that we take extraordinary measures to contain the second wave with a view to saving lives while we continue to protect livelihoods. My fellow South Africans, 11 days ago we declared Nelson Mandela Bay to be a coronavirus hotspot area, in line with our differentiated approach to the management of the pandemic. There are other municipalities that have also shown a particularly sharp rise in infections. Minister of Health, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, has visited these areas, and after consultations with various stakeholders, Cabinet has decided to also declare the following two districts as coronavirus hotspots. And these are the Sarah Bartman district, and secondly, the Garden Route district. This all means that the same additional restrictions that we applied to Nelson Mandela Bay will apply in these districts with immediate effect from midnight tonight, and will continue until we see a clear and sustained decline in infections. While these hotspots areas require particular attention, the festive season itself poses significant risk for the entire country. We have therefore been undertaking consultations in provinces, including at municipal level, on the measures that need to be taken to contain the second wave of infections. There have been extensive deliberations within the National Coronavirus Command Council and the President's Coordinating Council, which brings together representatives of national, provincial, and local government together, including our traditional leaders. Based on the recommendations from these meetings, Cabinet has decided that further restrictions need to be imposed nationwide from midnight tonight with immediate effect. Firstly, we will ensure that there is stricter enforcement of existing Alert Level 1 restrictions throughout the country during the festive season and beyond. This includes the requirement that drivers and operators of any form of public transport must ensure that all passengers who get into their vehicle must wear a mask. The managers or owners of buildings or places or premises, including retail stores, shopping centers, and government buildings, are obliged by law to ensure that all customers who enter their facilities or buildings must wear a mask. An employer must ensure that all employees wear masks while they perform their duties. This places a responsibility on all owners, managers, and employers, and on all of us indeed, to ensure that South Africans are safe whenever they are in any of these places. the responsible individuals who do not ensure compliance with the regulations by their passengers, customers, or employees will be liable to a fine or to imprisonment of up to 6 months. Secondly, we are taking measures to reduce the risk of super spreading events. The current restrictions on the size of gatherings do not do enough to prevent crowding in the current situation where new cases are rising rapidly. Therefore, gatherings, including religious gatherings, may not be attended by more than 100 people for indoor events and 250 for outdoor events. At all times, and particularly in smaller venues, the total number of people in a venue may not exceed more than 50% of the capacity of the venue. All gatherings must include adequate ventilation. They must also demonstrably show that there is social distancing. There must be wearing of masks and provision of hand sanitizers. Due to the potential for transmission, all post-funeral gatherings, the so-called after-tears parties, are prohibited. One of the greatest challenges we need to confront are the huge crowds that flock to our beaches and recreational parks on public holidays over the festive season. We have undertaken extensive consultation on this issue so that we can find an approach that reduces the risk of large-scale transmission while limiting the negative impact on businesses in coastal areas of our country. We have therefore agreed to adopt a differentiated approach which takes into account the different circumstances in different areas of our country. In the areas with the highest rate of infection, beaches and public parks will be closed for the duration of the festive season from the 16th of December to the 3rd of January. This will apply specifically to all of the Eastern Cape, as well as the Garden Route District in the Western Cape. In KwaZulu-Natal beaches and public parks, this will be closed on what are traditionally the busiest days of the season. And these days are the 16th of December, the 25th, the 26th, 31st of December, as well as the 1st and the 2nd and the 3rd of January 2021. The beaches and public parks of the Northern Cape and the Western Cape, with the exception of the Garden Route, will remain open to the public over the festive season. Festivals, live music, live performances at beaches are prohibited. Beaches and parks that are open to the public will only be open between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. The situation will be monitored daily by local authorities to ensure compliance with the regulations on gatherings and the prohibition of the sale and consumption of alcohol. In instances where there are large crowds or poor compliance with safety measures, specific beaches and recreational parks will be closed. National and provincial parks and other parks where access control measures and entry limitations are already in place may remain open to the public. This is a most trying situation for all of us, but it requires constant attention. I have directed that all members of the National Coronavirus Command Council and key personnel should be on standby to ensure constant monitoring and assessment of the situation countrywide throughout this festive season. In other words, whatever leave they may have had will be a light leave. It will be tempered by the need to have consultations and meetings. So all of them will be on standby to be able to meet with immediate effect if the situation across the country deteriorates. And should the situation deteriorate, further action will be taken to protect our people. The third area of focus over this period is to prevent super spreader events and reduce the burden on healthcare services due to irresponsible alcohol consumption. Therefore, the following measures will be implemented. The hours of the curfew will be longer, starting at 11 p.m. and ending at 4 a.m. Non-essential establishments, including restaurants and bars, will have to close at 10 p.m. so that staff and patrons, that is customers, can go home before the enforcement of the curfew. The curfew is meant to prevent gatherings that go on late into the night and into the morning, while enabling restaurants, bars, and taverns to continue to operate and earn an income. We should all remember that the hours of curfew also apply to Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. This means that we will all need to make changes to the way in which we celebrate these occasions. The sale of alcohol from retail outlets will only be permitted between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. from Monday to Thursday. Registered wineries and wine farms may continue to offer tastings and wine sales to the public for off-site consumption over weekends. This exception is being made due to the vital contribution of these establishments to the tourism sector in several parts of the country. Alcohol consumption in all public spaces, such as beaches and parks, is strictly prohibited. We will not allow large numbers of people congregating in any one place without proper controls or proper protocols being in place. These festive season restrictions will be reviewed in early January based on the state of the pandemic across the country. My fellow South Africans, in determining our response to the second wave of infections, we have sought to carefully balance the need to save lives and to protect livelihoods. The national lockdown, which we imposed at the beginning of the pandemic, was designed to delay the spread of the virus so that we could adequately prepare our health systems to respond to the rise of infections. At that time, we were not ready to cope with a sudden increase of cases and hospital admissions. We needed to secure adequate equipment and supplies to make additional space available in our health facilities and to train our healthcare workers and to put in place systems to monitor and respond to trends in the pandemic. A full lockdown was absolutely necessary then to delay the pandemic, but would not serve the same purpose now. And that is why we are not opting for that option. Over the past several months, we have put in place a range of measures to enhance our capacity to respond. through the hard work of our health workers, public servants, medical experts, and scientific advisors, we have marshaled all of our resources to protect the people of South Africa and to provide care to those who need it. The measures that we took early in the pandemic and the actions of every South African have allowed us to save many lives already. Now we must protect the gains we've made and work together to contain the second wave. As we have done since the very beginning, we must act based on the best scientific evidence that is available to us. Just as our doctors, nurses, and frontline workers are working tirelessly to protect us, we must work tirelessly to protect them as well. To date, over 38,000 health workers in the public sector have tested positive to COVID-19. Of these, nearly 5,000 were admitted to hospital. Sadly, 391 health workers in the public sector have passed away. As a nation, we owe so much to these brave and dedicated people and to their families, for without them, we would not have come this far. As we confront the second wave of infections, we must do everything we can to support and protect our health workers. Unless we act responsibly now, unless we adhere at all times to the basic precautions that we all know, we will face a bleak new year. Despite the restrictions on many of our regular activities, this season can be both festive and safe. This festive season, I'm asking you to keep your celebrations small and to avoid being in crowds. If you are spending time with other people, I ask that you do so outside, enjoying the splendid South African summer weather, or at least to make sure that you are in a well-ventilated space. If you are inside, I'm also asking you to wear a mask that covers your nose and your mouth whenever you are in public or in the company of people you don't live with. There is no point in wearing a mask on your chin or keeping it in your pocket or lowering it to speak to someone. Remember to regularly wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds or with a sanitizer. I also ask that you limit your travel as much as possible. If you have to travel, make sure that you travel safely. If you are going to visit friends and family, limit your number of contacts for at least 1 week before you travel, and try to spend time with only your immediate family or as small a group of people as possible. We know that COVID-19 affects people differently. According to the World Health Organization, most people are likely to develop mild or moderate illnesses and will recover within a short space of time without hospitalization. The most common symptoms are fever, a dry cough, and tiredness. Less common, but moderate symptoms are aches and pains, sore throat, and loss of taste or smell. If you experience these symptoms, then you should isolate yourself from others. If you experience severe symptoms such as difficulty in breathing or shortness of breath or chest pain, loss of speech or movement, you should seek immediate medical attention. I'm not a medical doctor, but Dr. Mkize coaches me. Please remember that if you have tested positive for coronavirus, or if you have been in close contact with someone who tested positive, you should immediately isolate yourself from others. As we have said in the past, the only viable defense we will have against COVID-19 will be the vaccine. Now, when it comes to the vaccine, South Africa has concluded all the necessary processes to ensure its participation in the World Health Organization COVID-19 Global Vaccine Access Facility. This facility, known as COVAX, pools resources and shares vaccine development risk to ensure equitable access to vaccines when they become available. Now, as part of this facility, it is expected that South Africa will receive initial vaccines to cover about 10% of our population in the early part of next year. We are also part of the African Vaccine Acquisition Task Team that I set up as chair of the African Union. And this is looking at alternative financing mechanisms to secure additional vaccines for African countries beyond the COVAX facility. The Minister of Health is part of this task team and is also looking at innovative partnerships here in our country with the private sector to ensure that South Africans have access to an effective vaccine that is suitable to our conditions. Now, I know a lot of information is spreading about the issue of vaccines. I want to assure our people that the Department of Health, our Minister of Health, and all of us in Cabinet are properly seized with this matter, and we will keep on briefing the nation on the issue of vaccines. The next few weeks are going to be a great test of our determination and restraint. This period will require each of us to do things differently to previous years, because this year is unlike any other year that we have lived through before. It will require us to give up some short-lived pleasures to protect ourselves and others, and to ensure that we can enjoy such times together in future years. I'm convinced that if we each play our part, if we each follow the basic precautions, then we can all have a joyful festive season. And most importantly, we can all have a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year that is dawning. And I wish all of you a blessed festive season, that you may remain safe and in good health, and that you may be able to welcome the new year together with all of us united as a resolute nation. May God continue to bless our beautiful country and all its people, and protect us all. I thank you.